the great storm in 1987, night of the hurricane, as it's known, was on the 15th and 16th of October. So permanently etched in one's memory that particular night. Just a little background, it all started because, as far as I was concerned, myself and my wife had been out with a friend in Shanklin, and when we were driving back home about 10 or 11 o'clock in the evening, we found, I noticed that coming along Sandown, tide seemed to be extremely high. And I mentioned to my wife the fact. She said, yeah, I've never seen that high ever. Didn't think anything more of it. When we got back to Bembridge, and going back to what I've been describing earlier on, I had to actually phone up Southern Coast Guard and say that I was back on call because I'd been out of the village. And when I did, the watch manager over there said, oh, what's your weather like over there, Jim? I said, well, it's puffing up a bit, but it's not too bad. The only thing that I'd noticed was extremely high tide at Sandown we came through. He said, well, I've just had your opposite number from New Haven phone up. He said, and he tells me it's blowing force 9 there, which is a severe gale. He said, and we haven't had any inputs at all from anybody else in the weather forecast that's not saying it's going to be too bad. I said, oh, let's have to see what happened. All right, good night. And went off to bed. The next thing knew was that the phone rang, and it was someone after 1:30 in the morning. And I said, I was grappling around to find the phone, because as these things happen, my other half had moved the bedroom round at the time. So once I found the phone and answered it, the same guy was on the other end, and he said to me, John Brockman here, Jim, can you get down to Shanklin? And he said, we've got a report of white flares off of Shanklin Pier. He said, we can't identify what it is. He said, the wind's picked up a bit, and he said, we've already sent Ventnor Mobile down there, but Ventnor Mobile have been coming down over Cowley's, and they've had a tree fall behind them, their Land Rover, and they've had a tree now fall in front, and they can't go either way. Can you get down there and see what it is, and then see if you can help out Ventnor Mobile? He said, oh, by the way, be careful, because the wind's now force 11. What? Yeah, okay, right, fine. Next thing is, where's the bedside light? No electricity. So, get out and find some clothes to put on in the dark. Get out of the front door, going up our little path, which was in Foreham Road here, and a gust of wind picked me up, slammed me against the gate. The gate came off the hinges, and I ended up sitting on this iron gate on the pavement, thinking, what's happened? So I then looked down the road and I could see all sorts of blue flashing going on. I thought, oh, is that lightning? Oh, I don't know. Anyway, I got in the car, drove down the road. As I got close to it, I found that there was electricity cables all arcing together, and even worse still, they were in the road, across the road. So I thought, what do I do here? And I thought, I've got rubber tyres. We'll try the daredevil bit and go straight over it, which I did, and looked down, they were still arcing behind me after I went past them. Got to the Coast Guard station. I also called out my colleague, or number two on call, who is John Hammond, and he arrived a bit shaken as well, and we discussed what we had to do very quickly. I said, well, he said, I think we ought to get some extra lighting. So we went round to the Coast Guard station, because at that time the Coast Guard station was split up. We had a duty room, a garage, and a lookout. And we went round to the Coast Guard station. At that point, we had a look. We had a large flagpole on top of the Coast Guard station. And that was going about 30 degrees either way in the wind. So we got in there quickly, got the equipment we wanted, ran to the garage. When we got round to the garage, I opened one of the garage doors, and unfortunately the garage was facing into the direction of the storm. So that garage door got ripped out of my hand and broke a hinge. And we looked at each other and said, well, we'll go for it. You stay here and open the other garage door. I'll get inside the vehicle first, because we knew the garage doors would blow away from us. And then we will we'll see what happens there. Anyway, did that, started the thing, gave him a thumbs up to open the other door. As he did so, the wind caught it, pulled the garage door straight off onto the front of the vehicle, and the roof of the garage disappeared. Luckily, he was upwind, so he wasn't injured at all. So I thought, one thing to do here, let's put the vehicle in first, drive it forward and see what happens. And as I did, all the debris just blew away. He jumped in and away we went. So that was the start of the proceedings. We then went to see if we could go to Sandown. We couldn't get past Denbury School or Steen Woods because there was trees down. We then decided, well, we'd go the other way via St Helens. We couldn't get up Station Road at St Helens, we could get up Latimer Road. As we got up there and went along the top of the green, there was a fire engine there, which we recognised as the Bembridge one, with quite a number of the firemen that we knew, and also shouted and waved at each other. And they actually had a house there that the roof was lifting, and they actually had a couple of lines over the roof of this house trying to secure it. So we made appropriate gestures and went on. We got okay then, we got into Sandown, but the next excitement was when we were going through past Skew Bridge and then going into Shanklin, long past, which is Wilton's garage now, and on the left-hand side is the Gatton Lake Primary School, and we saw instantly, there was obviously a huge gust, and the gable end came out of Gatton and Lake Primary School, and the walls along the road on the other side all collapsed into the road. Got a little bit further down, and then it was a matter of ducking the dustbins, because they were all coming down the road and being blown down the road. But they were all quite airborne, and they were actually going over the top of the Land Rover in the wind. There was one or two places where we saw hedges, which weren't upright, they were actually laid with the wind, actually on the ground. And there was also one other place where we also saw a garden shed go over the top of us as well. So we then ended up going down onto Shanklin Esplanade. And we got down the bottom, and as we got there, we thought, what's all these look like railway sleepers on the beach in front of us? And we turned the corner and went along. My colleague said, those aren't railway sleepers. He said, that's all the wood that's ripped off the pier. So we went along there, and yeah, by that time, the whole area of the pier, the walkway, had all been stripped and blown onto the shore. The problem was, we immediately found out there was possibly two fishermen that had been out on the end of the pier, and we didn't know whether they had got ashore or not. So we had to try and ascertain what had happened there. We soon ascertained what the white flares were. They were actually the electricity cables that were being torn apart on the pier as the pier was ripped apart. So we then decided that we ought to go along and search all these sleepers on the beach, because they're all piled on one another, and just to make sure if the fishermen were out there, there was none of them amongst the sleepers, and we couldn't find anybody. But a little bit later on, we did find out that they had got home okay. So that was the first part, and we decided at that point there was something else that was starting to develop. And also, round about that time, the Ventnor Coast Guard mobile had got itself free from Cowley's, and they come down and joined us. They managed to pick up a chainsaw by this time from somewhere. Never did ask them where they got that from. And we were both stood by because another incident was happening. South St. Catharines, and we took shelter by Shanklin Sailing Club, where you can get in underneath, and most of the debris and the stuff was blowing over the top of us at that point. And we couldn't really do anything much more about the pier until we got some daylight. When we were down at Shanklin Seafront, by that time the mean wind speed had reached 86 miles an hour, with gusts up to 108 miles an hour. The hurricane actually developed in the Bay of Biscay and had moved towards the south coast of England, causing around about £2 billion worth of damage. And the atmospheric pressure actually on the night, and we did actually get that confirmed by the Southampton Weather Centre at Bembridge, was 959 millibars, which you look at your barometers nearly off the bottom scale. And it was also the famous night where the weather forecast at the Met Office, Michael Fish, got it wrong. Because he said no, a woman phoned up and said she thought it was a hurricane coming. He said no, madam, there was no possible reason to think that. And in fact, the Met Office were caught out, because we've got copies of the barograph from Southampton Met Office, and the storm suddenly took a turn for the worse about 11, 12 o'clock that evening. But that's another story. Anyway, we're at Shanklin with Vet the Mobile, and we're awaiting some information. And we found out, that we were told, that there was a coaster putting out a distress message south of St. Catherine's Lighthouse. And the coaster's name was the Union Mars. She had part of her bridge been blown away, and the captain was using the emergency steering. Luckily, he did have a fair bit of sea room, and he was using his best endeavours to see what he could do with his craft. And he was actually saying that, "Don't send anybody out to my assistance at this point, but I do want you to know that, you know, I'm quite severely damaged." At that point, the Bembridge lifeboat was put on full alert, but the crew mustered in the boathouse at Bembridge but didn't launch, and the Coast Guard didn't want to send a single lifeboat down there, so they decided to send Yarmouth lifeboat as well. The Yarmouth lifeboat was launched, but it was decided that she should come through the Solent via Cowes to Bembridge and anchor off Bembridge lifeboat station and wait there, and if the lifeboats did go, they'd both go together from Bembridge. The interesting part of this particular story is that everybody was saying, "Union Mars, that rings a bell." And it did in the Coast Guard and Maritime world. And then we suddenly realised why. And that was because the Union Mars had a sister ship, which was the Union Star. But the Union Star was the coaster that was involved in a serious incident. And it was the incident of when the Penley lifeboat was capsized and the Union Star drove on the Cornish coast, and the crew of the Union Star and all the crew of the Penley lifeboat were lost. That actually happened, the Union Star, because she actually ended up getting water in her fuel tanks and the engine stopped. But anyway, to continue the story off of St. Catharines, the Union Mars, the sister ship, managed to actually change course, although it went round in quite a large circle, and started to head up towards the Nab Tower, which she eventually got up to the Nab Tower some hours later, and the Yarmouth lifeboat and the Bembridge lifeboat continued to stand by until she managed to get herself into Spithead. At that point, it was it had got light in Shanklin, and the Coast Guards, I think there's five of us on scene, and we then went all the way along the beach, and remember walking along all on the top of all the bits of wood that had been blown up onto the shore at Shanklin, just to check that there was nobody there, nothing untoward. And it took us an hour or so to walk over all this from one end of, or the bottom end of the road comes down onto the beach at Shanklin to actually the pier itself. And looking out to the pier, the only bit that was actually left of it was just the inner end and the outer end, and the entire walkway had been blown away and was deposited along the shore. So that was that. Our day wasn't complete at that point, because we started to make our way back towards Benbridge. On making our way back towards Benbridge, there was a further report of red flares in Sandown Bay, and we were requested to go to a high point to see if we could observe anything. The high point we chose was Culver Down. When we drove up Culver Down, past Benbridge Fort, and suddenly a man jumped out in the road. We didn't quite see where he'd come from, but it looked like from behind a bush, and waved us down. And when we said to him, "Yeah, you okay, what's up?" He said, "No, not really." He said, "We've been sheltering." He said, "There's a couple of families," and I didn't count them exactly, but it was at least five or six people there. And they told us that they were the inhabitants of the Coast Guard cottages at the end of the downs. They had actually vacated their properties when the hurricane came through, and it blew all the windows in on the south side, and the pressure was so immense that it blew all the windows out on the other side and sucked a lot of the contents of their house, which we found out on the bank opposite. And also, I don't think it was inhabited at the time, but the Culver Haven, which was the pub on the top of the downs, that had suffered a similar fate, where all the stuff at the bar and the optics and that were all strewn out down at the Benbridge Down. Anyway, coming back to the five or six people, they said to us all, now you've come up, can we get back down? Because there was trees blocking the way up. And we said, oh yes, you can, because we've cut them up with the with a saw. That's how we got up there. And so they said, oh great, we'll get our car. We said, well, you've got somewhere to go. Oh, yes, we've got relatives in Sandown and Brading and that. So they disappeared. And that's the last we actually saw of them. But the amount of damage that there was, their roofs were off. Yeah, I'm not at all surprised that that's what they wanted to do. They just wanted to get out of their houses because it was so dangerous to stay in them. And they'd actually stayed several hours sort of crouched under the gorse bushes up on the downs. And anyway, from then on, we made sure everybody was okay. We returned to the station and to see the rest of our colleagues who had been called out, were on duty, waiting there. The flagpole that we saw wavering about had broken apparently about 5 minutes after we left the station, because when the other people came down, the other Coast Guards, the flagpole was broken. So we just missed that little incident by several minutes. And I think we finally got off duty about 10 or 11 o'clock in that morning, when a lot of the things had quietened down. So that's the night of the 15th of October 1987, in my memory anyway.